Let's pray together. God, we ask that you would speak through me and you would speak into our hearts that we might hear your warning and we might heed your warning and that we might turn to you and seek you in our lives. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. Well, in life, we are constantly inundated with warnings. We are warned about a lot of different things. We're warned about the weather. We're warned about road conditions. We're warned about electrical hazards, toxic chemicals, and even what will happen if you swallow your mouthwash. There are warning labels on toys, on medicines, on paint cans, even on the little prizes you get in Happy Meals at McDonald's. We are warned on the road with warning signs like about school zones, construction areas, falling rocks, even deer crossings in some places. There are warnings about all kinds of things. And we receive these messages to try to prepare us that something down the road or something maybe in our future could be dangerous. And so we need to watch out. We need to listen to the warning. Now, there are some warnings that maybe are not that serious, that maybe we don't need to follow or listen to that closely. Let me give you a few examples. I found a list here. For instance, on a U.S. highway up in Michigan, there is a sign that says, "Do not pass while opposing traffic is present." Now, I'd hope most drivers do that all the time, but maybe it's good to have a sign to remind us of this. In a county jail up in Indiana, there is a sign that says, "No weapons beyond this point." Now, you've probably seen a sign like that before when you've gone into a jail of some kind, but this jail has it in Braille. Now, maybe they've had trouble with blind people shooting guns in the jail, but it seems to me to be a little unnecessary to have this warning in Braille. There's one in Smoky Mountain National Park that says, "If tunnel is dark, remove sunglasses." Again, I hope that we would do that on a normal basis. Then finally, on a pudding box, it said, "Caution, will be hot after heating." Because you never know after you heat something whether it's going to be hot or cold, right? So it's good to have that reminder. Okay, these are not so serious. Maybe we don't have to follow these warnings that closely. But there are some warnings that are serious and that we need to listen to. And in Exodus chapter 9, we find Pharaoh hearing a warning from God. It's a story of the 10 plagues. Story that starts in Exodus chapter 5 where Moses comes to Pharaoh and he says on behalf of God, he says, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go." And Pharaoh is resistant to what Moses says, to what God says. In fact, he even responds by saying, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let his people go?" And so God unleashes this whole list of plagues upon Pharaoh and upon the people of Egypt to demonstrate to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians who he is and why he should let the people go. First, he gives the plague of where the Nile River is turned into blood. Then there's the plague of unleashing the frogs. And I'm not talking about TCU students, but real live frogs. Then there's the plague of the flies, and then the gnats. Then there's a pestilence that comes to the cattle, causes the livestock to die. Then there are boils that show up, sores all over the Egyptians. But still, despite all of these plagues, Pharaoh's heart has not softened. It is hard. He is not budging on what he has said earlier. He is not going to let the people go. So God prepares a seventh plague. And this plague is a little bit unique. In fact, there's more said about this plague than any of the other plagues except the last one. And Moses comes to Pharaoh to deliver the message of the plague, and he says a few unique things to Pharaoh. First of all, God speaking through Moses says to Pharaoh that there's going to be a little more intensity in this plague, in the plagues to follow. In fact, it says in verse 14, "For this time I will send all my plagues on you." The NIV translates that phrase, "the full force of my power upon you." At Pharaoh, things might have been tough up to this point, but get ready. I'm going to really bring it now. It's going to be intense. And literally, where it says on you, in the Hebrew, it says upon your heart. Right now, your heart is hardened, but I'm going to bring all my power. I'm bringing the full force of my power, and I'm going for your heart. I'm going to break your heart so that you'll be ready to let my people go. The second thing that Moses tells Pharaoh, that God speaks through Moses, is about the mission. The mission that God has. Notice what it says, starting in verse 15. It says, "For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth." God is telling Pharaoh, these plagues are not just about you, Pharaoh. Don't think I'm doing all this just because your heart is hard. I'm doing this so the whole world will know who I am and that I am incomparable, that there is no God like me, and I should be obeyed and followed. And then the third unique part that Moses says to Pharaoh is he actually gives Pharaoh a warning. For the very first time in the whole list of the plagues, Moses actually tells, God speaking through Moses, actually tells Pharaoh, here's what I'm getting ready to do, so therefore, here's what you need to do to get ready for it. Notice what it says in verse 18. It says, "Behold, about this time tomorrow, I'm going to send a very heavy hail, such as not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Therefore, send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety, every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home. When the hail comes down on them, they will die." He says, Pharaoh, there's going to be a hailstorm, and it's going to be really, really bad. So here's what you do. Here's what you do. Go get your servants, go get your livestock, bring them inside. It won't be as bad then. It'll still be pretty bad, but it won't be nearly as bad. But if you leave them out there, they're going to die. They're going to die. He gives Pharaoh a warning and says, listen to me, obey what I'm saying, and it'll help you out. And so the question is, what is Pharaoh going to do? What are the people of Egypt going to do? Are they going to listen to the warning? Are they going to heed the warning? Or are they going to ignore it? One of the great things about our God is that our God is good. And He wants good for you and me. He doesn't want us to experience judgment. He doesn't want us to experience destruction or evil. And so in order to protect us from being feeling that evil, He warns us. One of the primary places where we receive warnings from God is from Scripture. When you open up the Bible and you read God's Word, one thing you're going to notice is you're going to hear warnings. Warnings from God that speak into our life. Let me just give you a couple examples. Matthew 16, verse 26. Jesus says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Now that's a warning. That's a warning to us, right? Don't get so wrapped up in trying to gain the world. Don't get so wrapped up in trying to gain things and money and power and status or whatever it is. Because in gaining and trying to gain all those things, you might lose what it's all about. Having a relationship with Jesus. Or 1 Corinthians 10. First part of 1 Corinthians 10, Paul's talking about the Israelites and how they're grumbling and complaining and selfish. And then in verse 12, Paul says this. He says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall." That's a warning. Be sure that you don't get so wrapped up in yourself and full of pride and self-centeredness that Satan doesn't get a foothold and trip you up and cause you to fall. And I could fill up this slide with many different scriptures that come from the Bible, God's Word, that are warnings to us, that speak into our life and say, hey, watch out. There's something going on here that you need to be careful about. This is also another blessing of the church, the people of God. It is so wonderful to be a part of a community of believers. Don't you agree? It's so wonderful to have brothers and sisters in Christ, because one thing, when you're a part of a church family, you have people who can see what you're doing and they can give you a warning. Older brothers and sisters in Christ who could say, you know what, I've been down that path and it's really not a good path to go down. Or I've struggled with that temptation and let me tell you about it, it's not a good one to deal with. Or, you know what, I've dealt with a decision like that before and here are some pitfalls that you might want to try to avoid. It is such a blessing to have people who can speak to you, things like that. When Lindsay and I first got married, we received a wedding gift from one of our relatives and it was a book. It was a book about finances. It was just a basic Christian book about how to handle your money from a godly perspective. And up until that point in my life, I had not read very much about money and about how a Christian should handle money. And so I got the book and I read it, read the whole thing. And it just kind of gave basic biblical principles about how to handle your money, how to get out of debt, how to work on a budget and not spend more than you earn, and about how to save a little bit, how to be wise, just basic biblical principles, how to give, how to be generous, just basic biblical principles about how to handle your money. And I am so thankful that I received that gift, because that book was a warning to me. A warning to me about, here, you're going to receive money. When you get a job, you're going to earn money, and here's how you handle that in a godly way. Here's the things you need to avoid if you're going to be godly. And I'm thankful that I received that warning, because we've implemented those principles into our lives and it has saved us in many different ways, many different areas. And that's just one example of how the church can be a blessing to us, how we can have people, brothers and sisters in Christ, family members who can speak into our life and give us a warning. But when we receive a warning, whether it's from Scripture or whether it's from the people of God, we're faced with the very same question that Pharaoh was faced with. Am I going to listen to the warning? Or am I going to ignore it? And in Exodus chapter 9, there were some who listened to the warning. There were actually some servants of Pharaoh who heard what Moses said and thought, you know what? I'm listening to that guy because I've seen all the other plagues. And so I'm going to follow what he says. And so they get the livestock, they get the servants out of the field. But Pharaoh and many of the other Egyptians did not. It says in verse 21, but he ignored the word of the Lord. Literally, he did not set his heart to the word of the Lord. God went for the heart, and Pharaoh didn't set his heart to what God said. And we find here the first reaction, first possible reaction that we can have to God's word. When God speaks into our life, one thing we can do is just like Pharaoh, we can ignore it, act like we didn't hear it, be like the driver who sees the school zone sign but just keeps going the same speed. Be like the parent who sees the warning label on the toy and sees that it's not for small children but gives it to her child anyways. Be like the family who hears the tornado sirens going off and yet takes no precautions for a possible tornado. That's what Pharaoh did. He ignored the warning. And church, I want you to hear me when I'm about to tell you. Whenever you ignore the warnings of God, you always regret it. You always regret it. And that's exactly what happens to Pharaoh. Moses leaves that meeting with Pharaoh and he lifts his staff to the sky and a storm starts to brew. The lightning appears, there's thunder and rain comes and then the hail starts to fall. And it's a hailstorm, according to Scripture, that is like never been seen before. God is an incomparable God, and this hailstorm was an incomparable storm. Now, I've read that the largest recorded hailstorm in the United States happened in 2010 up in Vivian, South Dakota. And here's a picture of the largest hailstone that has fallen in the United States. It's 8 inches long. It weighs 2 pounds. Now, that can do some damage, folks. And those of you that were at Mayfest in 1995, I've heard that that was a tremendous hailstorm where there was a ton of destruction done. You all know what can happen when hail starts to fall. Cars are dented. Roofs are destroyed. It becomes an insurance adjuster's dream, right, Joe? And that's what happens in this story. The hail starts to fall and everything is destroyed. It strikes servants, it strikes the plants, it strikes the animals, everything. And the devastation is so great. In fact, this is the first plague where, if Moses' prediction is correct, people died. And Pharaoh calls Moses back into him, and he says to Moses, "I have sinned. I have sinned." He regrets it. He realizes he should have listened to the warning of God, but he didn't, and so now he regrets it. It's the same way with us. We were talking about this idea in our staff meeting, and Becca shared with me this story. She said that several years ago she had a friend who fell in love with a guy, and they started having a relationship. And it was very clear to some of the friends of this young lady that this was not a good relationship. That her and this guy were just not on the same page spiritually. They just didn't have the same foundation when it came to faith. And it just didn't look good. And so they began to warn their friend. And say, "You know what, we think you should think about it before you go further in this relationship, because it just doesn't seem like it's the right thing to do. It doesn't seem like y'all are spiritually compatible." But she ignored the warning. Went ahead in the relationship. They ended up getting married. And now several years later, their marriage is terrible. They're divided. They have no spiritual unity. She's actually become farther away from the Lord. And she told Becca recently, she said, "You know what? Actually, I regret that I got married to this guy." When you ignore the warnings of God, you always regret it. You always regret it. And as I was studying this story and this passage, the question that came to my heart was, what am I ignoring? What is God trying to tell me that I'm not listening to him about? What is he trying to speak to me about in my life? And I'm not hearing him because I want to hear him. I want to hear him. And what is he warning you about? What is he warning you that you might be ignoring? Is God warning you about a relationship that really isn't a good one to be in? And he's trying to warn you about that. Is God warning you about a friend that you have at school who's just not a good friend to hang around? And there are people warning you about this. Is God warning you about a decision coming up and he's trying to steer you one way on this decision and you're kind of resisting that decision or making that choice? Is God warning you about that? Is God warning you about your spiritual life? That you're wandering away from God, and you know you are, and he's trying to warn you about that. Is God warning you about something? Because if God is warning you, listen to the words of Exodus 9 and heed the warning. Because if you ignore what God is telling you, you're going to regret it. The hail's going to start to fall. The storm's going to come, and you're going to regret that you didn't listen to God. There are so many people, in so many ways, who have said, "Oh, if I had just listened. If I had just listened to my parents. If I had just listened to my Christian friends. If I had just listened to my youth minister or to the preacher or to one of the elders. If I had just listened to the people who really loved me. If I had just listened to God's word, then I wouldn't have been in the situation I'm in now. But I ignored them. I ignored God. I regret it." That's what Pharaoh did. That's what we can do as well. Dave and Carrie Galliard live up in Montana. And a few weeks ago, they decided they wanted to go out and go skiing. They were wanting to go into the backcountry and do some cross-country skiing. The only problem was is that in the past 72 hours, it had snowed 3 feet, which meant that there were dangerous conditions for an avalanche. But that didn't bother Dave and Carrie. They headed out, and they were going to go skiing. And sure enough, they got going, and about the time when they were looking for lunch, an avalanche came. Dave was trapped and buried underneath the avalanche, and despite Carrie's rescue attempts, despite the search and rescue team trying to find him, he died. It's a tragic story. But maybe the most tragic part about it is they were warned. The Gallatin National Forest, which is where they were, put out a bulletin of a high-risk danger for avalanche, and don't go out under conditions like this. As Dave and Carrie were going out to ski, there were two skiers coming back who had just been caught in an avalanche, and they told them, don't go out. It's dangerous out there. And yet they kept going, and they paid the price. In the story, they interviewed one of the rangers at the Gallatin National Forest, Mark Staples, and notice what he said. He said, we see it time and again. We see the clues, but we choose to ignore them. And maybe that sentence is a good summary for Exodus chapter 9. Pharaoh saw the clues. He heard Moses. He'd seen what God had done up to that point. He knew what could have happened, and yet he chose to ignore it. And may it never be said of us that we saw the clues, we listened to God's word, we heard the people speaking into our lives, we listened as Christian leaders warned us, and yet we ignored it. We ignored it. Instead, may it be said of us here at Southside that as a church that's seeking to be shaped by Scripture, that we hear God's word, we listen to the warnings, and we act. We act upon it. We heed the warnings. We do what God asks us to do. This morning, church, if you feel like God is warning you about something right now in your life, I want you to tell someone about it. We're going to have elders surrounding this building. And just walk to one of them and say, pray for me right now because God's warning me about something in my life and I need to listen to him. Maybe you need to share that with your Sunday school class. That God's warning me here. I need some encouragement as I'm dealing with this situation. But tell someone if God is warning you. Don't ignore what he's saying. Listen to him. And one warning that God has given all of us is the eternal warning. That if we don't seek Christ, if we reject God, then eventually God will deliver us over to the path we have chosen, a life without him, eternity without him. And so we've been warned about that. And so it's time for us to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ and to be a follower of Jesus. And if you haven't done that yet, do it this morning. Decide now. I'm not going to ignore the warning any longer. I'm going to obey Christ and I'm going to become his follower. And if you're ready to do that during this next song, just come to the front and we'll help you. Any way we can help you, please come as Gary stands.